What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Fireside Giants. I'm your host, Anthony Rivardo, joined by my co-host, Alex Wilson. And man, I am so excited. We are less than a week away from the upcoming 2024 NFL Draft. What will the New York Giants do in the first round? Man, we've talked about almost every single option. We've talked about trading up, sticking and picking, going quarterback, going wide receiver. But what about trading down? I feel like we haven't talked a whole lot about that. And Alex, that's probably because we've both been opponents to that idea. We've both advocated for sticking and picking, taking a blue chip prospect, not moving down. That kind of came back to bite the Giants back in 2021. They had the opportunity to draft Micah Parsons, traded down, took Kadarius Toney, and then got a future first round pick, with Evan Neal being that future selection. Wasn't the best decision for the Giants in hindsight, but this particular trade down that we want to discuss in today's episode, a lot more enticing to us, and actually has us wondering, should the Giants move down and make a deal similar to this one? But before we dive into this projected mock trade, make sure to leave a like if you enjoy this episode, subscribe to the channel if you're new, ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. And before I hand it off to you, Alex, here is the mock trade, breaking it down for you guys. Essentially, New York Giants trade down with the Denver Broncos, move down 6 picks to the number 12 pick. Pretty far ways to go back, considering 6th overall. You've got your chance at Malik Nabers, maybe even Marvin Harrison. Moving down to 12, you're probably missing those top 3 receivers. However, the Broncos in this mock trade from Tony Pauline, NFL insider, you're getting Patrick Surtain II to the New York Giants and the Broncos' 2025 first-round pick, which is probably going to be a high pick considering the state of the Broncos roster. That's an enticing deal to me, Alex. A future first, Patrick Surtain, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL at only 24 years old, and you're only moving back 6 spots, where maybe you move up 3 spots and you go ahead and draft another player that you really like there. How are you feeling about that trade, Alex? What is your reaction?
It's a crazy trade. And look, in my opinion, obviously you guys know my stance on the Giants needing a quarterback. However, if there's no quarterbacks that we like on the board, if the Giants don't have conviction in J.J. McCarthy, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of trading up and getting him. If the Denver Broncos come up and say to us, hey, like, we want J.J. McCarthy, or we want a top-tier blue-chip receiver, look, it's always a risk skipping out on this. We've already bit the dust once doing this exact thing, going in the direction of, you know, Kadarius Toney and getting extra selection, which ended up becoming Evan Neal. We passed on Micah Parsons and Devonta Smith, and we missed out on the WR1, the true and tried player. However, maybe you move back to 11, maybe you move back a couple spots. You get a CB2 at 24 years old who's a bona fide star alongside Deonte Bakes. Now your defense, like, you could argue the Giants now have a top 10 defense in football with the level of talent they would have. Patrick Surtain, Deonte Banks, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns, Bobby Okereke. So much talent there, right? Just stupendous amounts of talent. Your starting group is elite for the most part, and that's really exciting for your Giants fan, because now you're one step closer to having a really well-built roster. Now, again, you don't have the, you know, receiver, but at 11, or whether, where's Denver picking again? It's not, is it 11 or is it 12?
They're picking at 12.
They're 12, okay. So you're not going to get Romo Odunze. You're probably not even going to get Brock Bowers. What do you do at 12? You know, what do you do at 12? I think the Jets go Bowers at 10, personally. If you were to slip to 12, I'm taking him without even, like, skipping a beat. But maybe the Giants take a chance on guy like a really fast guy like Xavier Worthy, which I think he should be a little bit later, personally. But, you know, who would you look at 12? What kind of guys do you think are in that range? Maybe you just go with, like, a Joe Alt if he's there and say, screw it, let's make our offensive line the best it's been in decades. And, you know, just reinforce that unit with another rookie contract. It's something to consider if you're going back to 12. Is there anyone else that stands out to you?
Yeah, I don't think Joe Alt makes it to 12, but some players possible that do stand out to me. If you want to go on the defensive side of the ball, you got Johnny Newton. Johnny Newton, out of Illinois, defensive tackle, putting him next to Dexter Lawrence alongside Kayvon Thibodeau, Brian Burns. Giants have the best defense maybe in the NFL, considering they're going to get Patrick Surtain, Johnny Newton. I mean, that would just be an incredible deal. Maybe you look at Byron Murphy if you want to take him that early. I don't think Joe Alt makes it, like I said, but if you want to go offensive line, Talisi Fuaga, he'll be there. Troy Fontenau, he'll be there as well, probably with the number 12 pick. You could take either of those guys. Both of them could potentially be great guards at the NFL or tackles. And hey, if you wanted to bolster the secondary even further, Cooper DeJean would be a sick selection as a cornerback slash safety that maybe you can use as the Xavier McKinney replacement. Or if you want to stick to the offensive side of the ball, you really want to get that playmaker. What about Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver out of LSU? There are some conversations where he can go in the top 15. Maybe he goes in the top 25. Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be a first-round pick, though, and you could argue that the 12th overall pick isn't too rich to take him. But I would argue this, Alex, since you're moving down, getting that future first-round pick, getting a stud already established in the NFL in Patrick Surtain, I think that you can afford to sacrifice maybe your third, maybe even your second-round draft pick, move up again. So you trade down to 12, maybe you trade back up to 8, right? You move up a few spots. Go ahead and draft Romo Dunze right there. Sacrifice that extra second-round pick. There you go. Now you've got Surtain. You've got an absolute stud wide receiver prospect once you trade up and go to number 8, take Romo Dunze. And you have 2 first-round picks in next year's draft, so you can punt on taking a quarterback this year, 2025. All in, you get your quarterback prospect if Daniel Jones doesn't pan out this upcoming season. How do you think that could pan out? Or really, what are your thoughts on that potential second trade there, Alex? You move down to 12, you move back up to 8. Romo Dunze, Patrick Surtain, what a haul that would be.
I mean, look, if you walked away with Patrick Surtain, Romo Dunze, and you get their 2025 first-round pick, I mean, that... Yeah, like, I'm doing it. You know, like, if you walk away with that, it's like, that's highway robbery. Yes, we don't end up with our quarterback. Yes, we have to figure it out later. But your team is significantly better, and it's not even close. You know what I mean? It's not even close, guys. If there's an opportunity, let's say, I don't know, the Bills end up, like, just tanking, and they stink, and they suck, and their whole team's a garbage disaster, and they're like, you know what, we can't afford, let's trade Josh Allen. The Giants can say, hey, we'll give you 2 first-round picks in 2025 for him. Maybe there's an opportunity. Maybe there's another world where that could happen. Again, that's total BS, but I'm just saying, like, you never know in the NFL. We've seen crazy things happen. You just can never tell. But I love the idea of moving back with that type of haul and then moving back up a couple spots, even if it's for a Brock Bowers, even if it's for a guy, Romo Dunze at number 8. I know Atlanta, we'll see what Atlanta does here. They could use another, I mean, they have Bijan Robinson and you know, Drake London. They have some good players. I think they would probably like to add another piece, maybe a defensive piece. I know that some people have them going Dallas Turner out of Alabama, but who knows? Like, this is a draft where you could see these teams move up and move down and do all sorts of things, and the Giants have a really peculiar spot here. I think they're the most confusing team in the draft right now because they have a spot where they could walk away with either a haul. I mean, Joe Shane said it yesterday. They've been getting calls like crazy. They're like, we were surprised. So many people wanted to move up to number 6, and you know, it's only going to be for a quarterback, and it's only going to be for a receiver. And I don't know if you guys have been hearing the reports today, but apparently Jaden Daniels' camp is not happy with Washington. Apparently there's a big feud going on there because they basically Jaden Daniels wanted to have a one-on-one meeting, like have this situation, like have him to himself. Instead, they made this whole collective meeting where like they were meeting with everybody, and it was super weird. And people were like, what the hell are they doing? And classic Commander is just nonsense. Like, why? You know, like, you put yourself in a dumb spot, you're going to get dumb results. And of course, Commanders go down that road. Applause to the Commanders. Hopefully they stink for the next 10 years. But you know, this is a situation where like Jaden Daniels is like, yeah, like, I don't like this spot. I don't like this situation. His agent is being verbally like, he's liking tweets. He's showing his displeasure. Are the Commanders going to say, you know what, we don't want to deal with this and move on and maybe go Drake May? If Jaden Daniels is there at 3 for the New England Patriots or the Patriots, and you know, Elliot Wolf said, I'm open for business, man. Like, we're open for business. We have a lot of holes, a lot of needs that we need to plug. And the Giants can offer them draft capital and a blue chip receiver for Jaden Daniels. So, like, who knows, like, what happens right now. There's so much going on a week before the draft. Like, these reports coming out, these situations. And, you know, personally sitting right here right now, the Giants have the world at their opening. You know what I mean? They can move a haul to go up and get a guy. They can go back a bunch of spots and get a haul in return, or they could stay put and take the best player on the board, which is going to be an elite wide receiver prospect. Guys, Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. are elite prospects. A lot of people have Romo Dunze. I mean, it's kind of a flip-flop of like where you put them and how you rank them. Most people have Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. are the top two, 1A, 1B, you know, vice versa, you know, just pick whichever one to toss up. But Romo Dunze is a sick prospect, guys. Like, an absolutely home run player in terms of his tangible and intangible qualities. I love him as a player. Would I be upset if the Giants got him? Absolutely not. I think he'd be a great fit for this team, a guy that can go up and get those 50-50 balls, elite route runner, really good hands, like just good separation qualities, good speed, and he's a hard worker at such a young age. Like, you love that type of stuff from a young guy. And, you know, if the Giants move back and then move back up for Rome and then still got that 2025 first-round pick, that's a huge dub. You know, that's a huge W for the Giants. The Arch Manning narrative lives in that situation. But, you know, it's obviously aside from the point, more so that I have no idea what this team is going to do. But hell, man, like, the world is the Giants' oyster right now. Their draft board is going to be done today, Joe Shane said, and they're not going to be overzealous with it. They're going to be more so like, you know what he said, paralysis by analysis or something like that. The more you analyze, the more you get stuck in where you are. You know what I mean? The more you start to dive deeper into these guys and find the, and like looking for the red flags, the more you start to convince yourself out of a player, convince yourself for a, you just let your instincts and your draft evaluations and all the metrics speak for themselves. You don't overdo it. You know, you take things at face value. When you start to look too deep into things, that's when you end up with a Kadarius Toney, because you end up like saying, you know what, let's trade back. Let's get too cute. And then you end up taking a player with massive red flags that you ignore, or something of that nature. Just take the information, process it, and that's that. And then your grade either stands as, you know, these guys should not be drafted, or these guys deserve to be drafted where we are currently picking. So, you know, right now I feel like the Giants are in a really good spot, but this trade scenario is ridiculous. I think, I don't even know if they would do it. You know what I mean? I really don't know if they would even offer Sertan plus the 2025 first. Maybe it's possible, but hell, man, like, Deontay Banks and Sertan in the secondary, like, that's one way to replace Xavier McKinney in terms of losing an essential DB in the defensive backfield.
Yeah, and listen, the only reason we're bringing up Pat Sertan in this projected trade is because this is literally what was brought up from an NFL insider, and it's actually not the first time that Pat Sertan's name has been mentioned in trade reports and rumors. This one from a couple of days ago from CBS states that an NFL general manager told Jason LaCanfora that Pat Sertan was nearly traded before last year's trade deadline and suggests that PS2 is a possible trade chip for the Broncos to move up for quarterback. So this is not just Tony Pauline throwing out some random stuff. There's also Jason LaCanfora of CBS having his own report that pretty much corroborates it. Two different outlets here hearing the exact same thing, which is the Broncos are looking to trade up for a quarterback, and they are willing to put Pat Surtain the second in that deal to move up. So essentially what it comes down to, which quarterback is on the board at number six? Do the Giants like that quarterback? Maybe not. Do the Denver Broncos like that quarterback? If they're in love with that quarterback and the Giants don't want that quarterback, then you could see this deal getting done. However, is this deal likely to happen? In my opinion, no, because I do believe that the Broncos would only offer a deal of this magnitude to move up to 3 or 4, jump the Giants, and get QB3 in this class. I can't see them doing this for QB4, whoever that ends up being, unless, again, this draft shakes up in a really strange fashion, and QB4 is the guy that the Broncos love, whether that be Jaden Daniels, as you mentioned, Alex, because he's upset with the Broncos, whether that be Drake May, whatever the case might be, I'm not exactly sure, which is, again, why the draft is so difficult to predict. We don't know what these teams' boards look like, but if that QB is on the board at 6, Giants don't want him, Broncos are desperate to get him. You got to keep in mind, the Broncos are not the only team trying to trade up here. There's also the Minnesota Vikings and potentially the Las Vegas Raiders. And I'm going to highlight the Las Vegas Raiders as being the more notable of those two teams, because if the Denver Broncos catch wind that their division rival, the Las Vegas Raiders, are trying to trade up to that Giant spot to take the quarterback that the Broncos want, the Broncos are going to say, uh-uh, that's not happening. Take our all-pro cornerback who's 24 years old. We don't care. We are not letting our perceived franchise quarterback go within the division. That is what could drive up the price tag and allow the Giants to steal Patrick Surtain and a future first-round pick from the Denver Broncos. So I know a lot of this sounds like it's a fairy tale and it's in dreamland, but really, if you walk through the process and you think about the way that these bidding wars happen on draft night in the NFL, this is possible. There is a reality that exists out there where this scenario plays out. But again, it's going to take a lot of ifs, buts, whens. It's not something that's set in stone that this could definitely happen. This is like, if this quarterback falls here and this team likes this, if that happens, then maybe you could see this trade take shape. But more so my main takeaway from this, Alex, it's not the fact that, okay, the Giants could end up with Pat Surtain and a future first. It's more so there are teams that are desperate to move up in this draft. And if the Giants do choose to move down, it sounds like there's a lot of competition from teams trying to move up, which is going to drive up that price. And the Giants picking there at number six, they have the luxury of not only being a team that a team could trade up with due to a quarterback, but also due to a playmaker. There are going to be teams that are desperate to move up to number six in order to draft a Malik Nabers or a Romo Dunze. I don't know if you've read some reports, Alex, but picking all the way down at, I believe it's 18, the Jacksonville Jaguars are really trying to get inside the top 10 for Romo Dunze. Now, what would the Jaguars have to give up? Probably a player and a future first-round pick. So this price tag of Pat Surtain plus a future first, you could apply that to some of these other teams. Take your pick as to which Jacksonville Jaguars player you want, but in order for them to move up that far, get to number six, and take Romo Dunze, because again, that's who they're reportedly interested in, it's going to take a player and a future first-round pick, and apply that same logic, whether it's Pat Surtain and a future first, Jaguars player and a future first, apply that to any of these teams that are looking to move up to the number six pick, and that's where you have to ask yourself, Alex, some of these teams aren't necessarily trading up for quarterbacks. Maybe they're trading up for playmakers. Are you willing to lose out on that playmaker that these teams are trading up for? Let them take that in order to get an established player in the NFL plus a future first-round pick. How do you feel about that? Do you think that's a possibility? And I'll even throw out one other projected mock trade that I saw a few weeks ago. I believe it was Buffalo Bills gave up. It was from The Athletic, and it was Buffalo Bills' projected trade based on the Julio Jones trade from whenever he got drafted. I think it was 2004. If you don't know, in that draft, the Atlanta Falcons were picking deep in the 20s, traded all the way up to, I think, pick number four, gave up a future first, future second, a ton of draft capital to move up, make that deal. Could a team trade all the way up from the 20s? Could it be the Buffalo Bills? Maybe moving up with the Giants. Giants move way down on the draft, but get a load of draft capital. Just what are your general thoughts on that concept of the Giants maybe not taking that playmaker that's available to them at number six, sacrificing that, but getting a ton of draft capital and maybe an established player elsewhere to add to their roster from another team picking later in the draft trying to move up for a playmaker?
I mean, look, you know, I think the way that I would view this, the Patrick Surtain's inclusion makes this a lot more attractive because, you know, when we moved back a couple years back in regard to getting Kadarius Toney and Evan Neal, we got draft picks. We got nothing that was a proven commodity. So what I do like about this scenario is you end up with a proven commodity plus draft capital. Because so that at least that way you're not walking away with what ifs. Like Micah Parsons was a, when is he going to be a monster? Devonta Smith, when was he going to be a tank? These guys were like guys that were high probability hits. And the Giants opted for low probability hits. And Kadarius Toney, lower than those two. And then Evan Neal, obviously, they just fucking ruined. Sorry for my language. That's just the truth. that kind of just came out. I'm sorry. But when it comes to Evan Neal, I have that sheep mentality. I'm kidding. It just is what it is. And look, the Giants ultimately walk away in this scenario with a proven commodity who is in the final year of his contract, and I think the fifth year option as well would be pretty substantial. But again, your costs are very low in the secondary. You have Deonte Banks on a rookie deal, four more years of that. You can afford to pay one of your cornerbacks. The Giants are going to have to spend at a CB1 or at least spend on a cornerback at some point to pair with Banks. So in this case, you have Surtain, who's a CB1, and then you have Banks, who is a CB1. You have two high-quality corners on this team then. Only one of them is actually being paid anything substantial. So, you know, with that being said, you know, looking at that variable, it's a lot more attractive. And then in addition, you walk away with the 12th pick and you have a lot of options there, but none of them are blue chippers. And that hurts. I think I would do that trade just because of the commodity logic there, but passing on Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr. or whoever is there is going to hurt like hell. You know what I mean? It's going to hurt like hell because this team has lacked a true WR1 for a very long time. You know, very, very long. Since OBJ. So, you know, if you're sitting here as a Giants fan and you want the offense to be better and you trade in the commodity you're getting as a defense guy, where do we sit? You know what I mean? Like, where does our offense lie? Our offense is probably going to be dog again next year. It'll be dog water. It's going to be awful. You know what I mean? Like, that's unfortunately the truth. You know what I mean? Our offense is probably going to be bad again if you don't walk away with a blue chip receiver. Are you okay with that, though? Are you okay getting more draft capital and acknowledging that our offense is probably going to be bottom half again because we didn't take the blue chip receiver?
It would need to be a godfather offer. Like, Brandon Bean needs to call up Joe Shane and say, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse. You know, he's got to hit him with the Vito Corleone. Give him like 3 first-round picks. That's the only way I'm moving down and giving up one of those blue-chip wide receivers. Because seriously, this Giants offense, it made me depressed watching that last season. Like, I could not stomach watching the New York Giants offense for at least 8 weeks of that season. It was just so bad. Historically bad. I mean, how many quarters did they go without scoring a touchdown? Wasn't it like 9 quarters at some point with 0 touchdowns? Ridiculous. The Giants got to add talent. They got to add talent on the offensive side of the ball. Yes, they added talent to their offensive line. Hopefully their scheme is more intact, but they lost Saquon, and Saquon was a touchdown scorer. They don't have a great receiving core. They have some good pieces in there. They got to get a playmaker at some point. Darren Waller probably not coming back. I think I read today that it's a 90-10 chance of him retiring. I don't remember which reporter said that, but I saw it somewhere. Darren Waller's probably gone. Giants don't have any playmakers. They got to get one. I don't know how you're going to get a legitimate game-changing day one playmaker trading down that far in the draft unless you maybe trade back up. But even some of these other guys that I've mentioned and we've talked about on the show, Alex, Ladd McConkey, Brian Thomas Jr., some of these guys you might get in the second half of the first round, great talents, but they're not going in the first half of the first round for a reason. They're probably not going to make that instant day one impact. They have different flaws in their game that these other blue chip wide receivers like Neighbors, Odunze, and Marvin Harrison Jr., they don't have those flaws. They're really well-rounded. They're great players. So it's kind of tough to sacrifice that talent to move down. So again, Brandon Bean or whatever GM, the Jacksonville Jaguars GM, I don't know his name because I don't care about the Jaguars. Whoever is picking all the way down in the second half of the first round, you got to send the godfather offer to Joe Shane. That's the only way Joe Shane should even entertain a move down the board when there's that level of offensive talent sitting with the number 6 overall pick. And again, maybe it happens. Maybe they move down like that. Maybe they end up grabbing some talent from a team already established. But what about this, Alex? Let's say San Francisco 49ers. I know that this kind of went viral recently. It was a big trade from Justin Pugh, I believe. Giants former offensive lineman on his podcast put out a mock trade. San Francisco 49ers going all the way from pick 31, giving up a bunch of extra draft capital and Brandon Ayuk to the Giants for the number 6 pick. Maybe if you're getting that elite playmaker immediately in the trade, you're more willing to move down many spots in the draft order if you're Joe Shane. That's a possibility as well. So really just so many scenarios to play out here. Who knows what's going to happen? We're under a week away from the draft. It's going to get really exciting. I mean, we could just keep going back and forth all day long about the different ways that this could shape out. But one last thing that I do want to ask you, Alex, before we wrap this up, it's not necessarily related to the New York Giants, but it's related to them in the sense that there's a rumor going around in the NFC East. AJ Brown potentially could be a draft day trade. Now, if you remember, AJ Brown a few years ago, Tennessee Titans to the Philadelphia Eagles on draft night, could happen to him again, which probably says a lot about his character that he keeps getting traded on draft night because he keeps complaining and begging for the football. Whatever, I digress. AJ Brown, how do you feel about that? What do you think might happen here? This is more just, I'm curious to hear your thoughts and opinions and just speculate about the NFL draft in total here. Again, not necessarily related to the Giants, but what do you think might happen here and how could that affect the way that the NFC East kind of shapes out in 2024?
I mean, A.J. Brown getting traded again would be surprising to me just because the Eagles probably feel like they just got a lot better. You know, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and obviously Saquon Barkley now, and in an offensive line of that magnitude, they have no reason to trade A.J. Brown. In fact, they have every reason not to trade him. You're losing your best receiving weapon. If they were to trade him, it's because he forced it and he's just, you know, disgruntled or whatever it might be. But if you're Philadelphia, you survive a hot-headed player or whatever he is because he's your best chance at winning another Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like if you trade him, you lose a proven commodity and you're taking a risk on maybe drafting another guy that may not be as proven. So, you know, with that being said, it'd be absolutely foolish for AJ Brown to leave that team. Maybe long-term they can't afford him, but right now I just don't see how that's possible. I would be blown away if he was traded again.
I would be too, but hey, stranger things have happened. That's kind of what we're talking about here. The NFL draft, strange things happen. Maybe Brandon Ayuk is a New York Giant on Thursday night. Maybe AJ Brown is a Pittsburgh Steeler or a Philadelphia Eagle. We don't know how it's going to shape out, but man, it's just so exciting, and we are less than a week away. Maybe all of this hype is going to be for naught, and it's just like the most plain Jane, boring first round ever. I don't think so, though, because of the buzz that we've been hearing, the rumors and the reports. It sounds like some fireworks are going to explode on Thursday night, and hey, we're going to be live streaming throughout the first round of the NFL draft, so when those fireworks go off, you're going to see our live reactions. Maybe the fireworks will be shot off in New Jersey from the New York Giants. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll be elsewhere in Philadelphia. We'll have your reactions for that anyway. We're going to watch, at least I know for sure, I'm going to watch a whole first round right here on the channel. I'm going to give you my reactions to pretty much every pick. I'm pretty well informed for most of the first round draft picks or prospects that will be going in this round, and I'll give my takes and analysis on all the players for all the teams because it's fun and I love the NFL draft and I like hanging out with you guys on the channel and on the live stream. So again, make sure to stay tuned to that and stay tuned to the 20K subscriber special, which is coming out, drumroll please, tomorrow. Can't wait to deliver that to you guys. And once again, thanks so much for all the support that you've shown to Fireside Giants, and stay tuned to Fireside Giants for all of your New York Giants news, rumors, reports, speculation, and content. Make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the channel if you're new, ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. If you're listening to Apple or Spotify, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. Go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you all on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go Giants.